My, it's good to see so many out. Early risers. It's good to rise up early, isn't it? And to hear the Word of God, and to sing, and to pray, and to start the day with the Lord. I would like to read the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 verses of John chapter 14. It begins like this, and it's the words of the Lord Jesus before he goes back to heaven. And he's saying, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away, and come again unto you. If you love me, you would rejoice, because I said I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise and let us go hence." This, I think, is about the fifth lesson that we've had in John 14. And it's a long chapter, but I thought that every lesson was a blessing to my soul. And I trust that there's been encouragement to all of you. You'll remember right at the start, he told us about heaven. And it's a good thing for us to know about heaven. And he spoke of the heaven as the Father's house. Sometimes heaven is spoken of as a city and another country. But I love to think of it as a house and the Father's house. And I love to think that he loves his children to come home. And that is our hope, that one day we will go home to be with our Father, which is in heaven. The Lord Jesus taught us to pray, even now, that his will might be done on earth as it is in heaven. Oh, his will be done there, from first to last. And his will is good, it's acceptable, and it's perfect. And what a day it will be when we go to the Father's house.
Amen.
And then we are told how to go. The gospel choo-choo train is on its way to heaven now. And it will stop for anyone who is in need and who is in need of mercy. And Thomas, he was the one who wanted to know the way to get to the Father's house. And of course Jesus said, you know, that was the second lesson we had. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man, nobody comes unto the Father but by me. So you see, the gospel train is taken up with a person, and that person is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he said, while you are absent and waiting to go to heaven, I do want you to know the Father personally down here. That was another lesson we had. And we found that there were 7 different things said how we could know the Father. And he even said, you ought to know the Father because I and the Father are one. And if you don't believe me for the words that I speak to you, then you ought to believe that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or believe me for the very work's sake, the works that I do. And then he told us something else. We had another lesson about the Holy Spirit. And you remember, it was Judas that said, well, now how are you going to reveal yourself to us down here and not into the world? You said you would talk to us, you would tell us things, but you didn't reveal yourself to the world, because the world didn't know you. And if it's family relationship, I want to talk to you who are my own. And this he does through the Holy Spirit. He said, when I get to heaven, I'll send the Holy Spirit down, and he'll take the things that are mine and show them unto you. He'll even show you things to come, and he'll glorify me down here in the earth. And then he went even so far as to say, if you love me, that's one of the ifs of the Bible. And we said we ought to pass that if around on a plate, and we ought to take a hold of it and look at it, and at least tell the Lord if we love him or not. And if we love him, he says, if a man love me, he will keep my words. My Father will love him. We will come unto him, and we'll make our abode with him. My, I thought that was a wonderful lesson. To know what a Christian is down here, he has, in this vessel of clay, he has the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. We will come. The Father will come. The Spirit will come. I will come and make my abode in him. That's what Christianity is. And when you have trials, when you have aches and pains, or when you are singing with joy in your heart, or praying, we ought to always remind ourselves of this, that even in me dwells the triune being, and I don't even have to say our Father which is in heaven, because he's right next to us. And we can just say, my own dear Father, I'm praying this morning that you'll be near and dear and manifest yourself unto me. Paul would say, I bow my knees before the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then here is a wonderful lesson to me, and I trust it is will be for you this morning, and it has to do with peace. Peace. The peace with God. The peace of God. And the Lord Jesus, oh, how he begins it. And he says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He actually gave us medicine for heart trouble at the beginning of the chapter, and before he closes the chapter, he wants to give us some medicine for heart trouble again. And that has to do with his peace. Isn't it wonderful to have peace? All the peace forever flowing from God's thoughts of his own dear Son. And I believe that the peace that he leaves with us is the peace that he made at the cross. He made peace by the blood of his cross. And this peace has to do with your conscience. Possibly, and we've all had to have this experience in our time, of our conscience being reached by the Word of God, convicting us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. And our conscience got active, and we wondered how these sins that were looming up like huge hills and mountains before us, how they could be handled, how they could be taken care of, how they could be blotted out as far as east as from the west. Oh, I love to look into the face of men and women and say, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And then we read that he was delivered for our offenses. He was raised again for our justification. And therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that's peace for the conscience. But then there is peace for the heart. And he says about this peace, that it's his peace. And do you know the peace that he had when he was down here? Whatever loomed up before him, all of those trials, sorrows, he was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And when all of this would be heaped upon him and coming up before him as a huge blank ahead of him, he had a peace that passeth understanding. And that peace was the peace, I believe, of the Father that was continually before him when there was trials and difficulties in the way. And I want to read a little bit to you just about that peace in Philippians 4:7. I know most of my people probably know it, but I wish we could learn it by heart. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. It's called the peace of God. And it passes all understanding. This peace is so serene. It is so pronounced that it'll give you such rest. It's beyond all your understanding. And it will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. How is your thinker? Huh? Do you think upon things that are pure, lovely, good report, honest? Huh? Well, if you do that, now listen. Here's something I want you to get a hold of. If you do that, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me do, and the peace of God shall be with you. Isn't that wonderful? I love to lay down on my pillow and know the peace of God is with me. And it passes all my understanding, and I have rest. Oh, what sweet rest. Well, it's a twofold peace. It's twins. And it's the peace with God and the peace of God. One is for the conscience, and the other is for the heart. Oh, I love heartfelt ministry. Not just things for the intellect. That kind of thing passes away so quickly. But when your conscience and your heart is reached, it's for eternity. Well, let's look a little bit further. Your hearts will not be troubled, and you won't be afraid. Are you afraid in the dark? We ought not to be, because the God who has given this peace and the peace of God that we have, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. My, the eyes of our understanding are enlightened, and to get into such peace as this. Now we'll come to verse 28. Ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. Oh, we often quote from the Apostle Paul in Hebrews. He went away, but not to stay. He's coming back again. And don't you love to think of a dear, dear friend that you love with your heart coming to visit you today? And he is the one who is our comfort in heaven. And he's going to come back and come back soon and to comfort our hearts. So he says, if you love me, you should rejoice. You ought to rejoice that I'm going back to my Father. Because I said, I go unto the Father, and my Father is greater than I. Now, the reason he said here that his Father is greater than he was is because when down here he took the place of the dependent man and he relied upon God his Father, even for his daily bread. And for every step that he took, he walked by the Word of God. He could say, God's Word is a lamp. The Father's Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. And so he would pray to the Father, and he lived by the Father, and the Father was manifested in him. Now he says, you ought to just rejoice that I'm up there with the Father, because in His presence is the fullness of joy. And He says, if you're not selfish, you'll just rejoice that I'm up there where all of this rejoicing is. Sometimes, you know, you and I get a little selfish with our love, don't we? And we just want everything down here to please us. And we aren't concerned enough whether it pleases the Father or whether it pleases our Savior. But we oughtn't to have that kind of selfish love, because love, it thinketh not evil, and love is not taken up with itself. And love doesn't boast. And love is willing to rest in what it is. And isn't it a wonderful thing to rejoice? I'm rejoicing right now that my Savior is with God His Father. He left the Father and came out into the world. Then He left the world and went back to the Father. And He's there, where He had spent all of those times of eternity in the bosom of the Father. And He's going to come and take me to be in all of that family relationship, the joys of it. What a day that will be. And to think of His Father and our own dear Father, who has our times in His hands. And then He goes on here in verse 29, and He says, now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it comes to pass, you might believe. Now, what He's doing here, He's referring to what Judas was going to do to Him. And He said, you remember in chapter 13, He very clearly said to us in verse 19, now I tell you, before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe that I am He. And of course, there He speaks of how Judas, His own familiar friend, would kick up His heels against Him, how He would betray Him, and how He would turn Him over to the enemy. And so He says, I want to tell you all about this before it comes to pass. Don't you turn against Me, you disciples, when Judas kicks up his heels against Me and puts a kiss of betrayal on My cheek. Don't you turn from Me too. Oh, stick with Me in My time of trial and the time when the sorrows are besetting Me round. I want to inform you about it. And then in verse 30 He says, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in Me. Do you know who He's talking to and talking about now to them? It's the devil. It's the prince of this world, the god of this age. And He says He's coming, but He'll find nothing in Me. And I believe that Satan came in the form of Judas in the Garden of Gethsemane when that betrayer's kiss was put on his cheek, and when the soldiers came with their staves and their swords to arrest Him and to take Him and put Him under trial. Satan was given full sway, and I believe that Satan worked right on up until those religious leaders had that seal put on his tomb there outside the city walls of Jerusalem, where he was put into that tomb and a seal put on. And they said, we've got this traitor secure now. Nobody will break a Roman seal. That was Satan's work. And I believe that while He spoke of Satan coming and putting Him through this awful trial, I believe that He was thinking too of the love of God and His devotions to God, because He faced the God of this world. He faced all of our liabilities. He faced our greatest enemy because of the love of God. Oh, I love to quote John 3:16. It's the greatest verse, I think, in the Bible. Some said it's the gospel in the nutshell. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave his only begotten Son over to the throes of the God of this age. And there on the cross, he conquered Satan. Oh, I love to think of a triumphant Savior. And you know, if you don't believe in the resurrection, you're still in your sins. The Bible says so. And it also says that I am preaching in vain if we don't believe the resurrection. So we believe, don't we, in the resurrection. And we believe it was in the resurrection that Satan was conquered. And we believe at the same time that that life that was given there on the cross was given for us. And we're enjoying salvation at this very moment. Well, look at the last verse, and with this we will close. But that the world may know that I love the Father. Do you know that this is the first time in the New Testament where you read that the Lord Jesus expresses and tells out that he loved the Father? It wasn't that he didn't love the Father every step of the way, but he didn't in any way sport that. All the way through, he proved he loved the Father by his devotion to the Father. Sometimes you and I boast of how much we love the Lord, but the way to boast about the Lord is to show it in our devotions and our ways and our attitude and our conduct. And then when his love overflows us and we have done these things, then we ought to be able to say, Lord Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, I know it is now. Oh, I quote this so often. I'll love thee in life. I'll love thee in death. I'll love thee as long as thou lendest me breath. And even when death's dew lies cold on my brow, Lord Jesus, if ever I love thee, I know it is now. Well, that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. And so that little word, even so I do, meant that he was leaving the upper room, going through the Garden of Gethsemane, facing the treachery of Judas, facing all the forces of Satan, and on the cross, he suffered at the hands of a holy and a righteous God, that all of what we've been brought to is being brought into our lives, and we have salvation, don't we? What a blessing this is, my dear man, to stand on your feet and to acknowledge God as your own dear Savior. May the Lord richly bless you. Oh, it is good to make some indication that we believe the gospel, isn't it? That we've come to Christ, that we know the Father, and that we have a hope that makes us not ashamed because his love is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Now, we're going to close with a word of prayer, and we'll just sing two verses of the hymn. Shall we bow in prayer? O God, our Father, we thank thee for thy presence this morning, for speaking to us through thy word. We thank thee that thy banner over us is love, and we thank thee that we've been into thy banqueting house, and our souls have been fed by the bread from heaven. Bless each soul here this morning. Maybe we can't express ourselves audibly, but we can express ourselves to thee and tell thee of our need and how thou hast met it in all of thy grace. We pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. We use our theme song, Ruth, number 217, Only Trust Him. We're trying to use this each week at the close of the meeting, so you can think about it during the week.
Which verse is this?
Number 217.
Which verse?
Number 1 and number 4.
1 and 4.
Oh, my God.